Welcome to Kingstead Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. And wherever you're listening from, we believe God's word will impact your everyday life.
Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and bless you for these, your people. We pray, O God, that even today, you bridge the gap of communication between the speaker and the hearers. That you anoint me, O God, to speak your word to these, your people, because they are your precious people. And I thank you for their destinies and for the grace that you've placed upon each and every one of them. I thank you for the journey that you have for each and every one of them, where you're taking them, where you're elevating them to, where you're guiding them in the name of Jesus. Lord, let their lives reflect the very glory of God, the very mission of God, the very blessings of the Almighty God. Let it be upon them in such a mighty way, and let whoever looks unto them say, surely your trust in the Lord, it inspires me. I pray, O Father, that this is the day, the time, and the hour when they will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, grow in Christ, be rooted in him, planted in the house, that the grace of God may exceed upon them, that the name of Jesus Christ may be glorified. We therefore resist every power of the evil one. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ, commanded that they have no place in this house, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We silence every thought that is not in alignment with the will of God, and we declare, let every thought right now submit to the word of God and to the will of God and to the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise for your kingdom that is growing and multiplying in the midst of us, to the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, somebody say, when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command his stones that they might be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. And he closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all that of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country. Praise the Lord. Okay. The book of Luke really begins with Luke telling the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. And he tells the visitation of the angel to Mary and the birth of Jesus Christ and that whole genealogy. He really goes through the psychosocial stages of Jesus's growth and development from birth. And we find Jesus in some stages. The gaps are, you know, left out, but we find him at birth, then we next see him at 12, and then the next time we see him, Jesus is a full-grown man, and then Jesus all that time was working with his father in their carpentry workshop. So they had a business they were running, and then Jesus grows and steps out and says, now it is time for me to go into what my father has called me to do. At the age of 12, Jesus remains back when Mary and Joseph went ahead, and then they remembered that Jesus is not with them. They had to go back, and they found him reasoning with the doctors of the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the pastors of that day. And this 12-year-old young man is asking them questions. I believe they were quite mesmerized, impressed, and amazed at the kind of the knowledge or the wisdom that he displayed, asking them the questions that he's asking them. And so as parents were concerned, and Jesus said, I must go about my father's business. Do you not know that I must go about my father's business? And the Bible says that Jesus grew in favor with God and with man, in knowledge and in wisdom, and in favor with God and with man. There was a process. He grew. And may I submit to you that when Jesus was doing ministry, Jesus did not do ministry as the Son of God. He did ministry as the Son of Man. So when the Bible says Jesus grew in knowledge and in wisdom, the knowledge and the wisdom, ladies and gentlemen, did not come by osmosis, which simply means that Jesus read the books. Glory to God. He took his time and he read the books, and he grew in favor with God, which means he took the time to build the fellowship with God. But he also grew in favor with man. That is quite amazing, because in this day, most of our men of God that God anoints grow in favor with God, but they have no understanding of human relationship. They grow in God, but they do not grow with their communities. That is something that needs to be visited, that as you grow in favor with God and God is using you, you also grow in favor with man. It is important. That's why the Bible states it anyway. Jesus feels the call of God, and he knows it is time for me to step out and to go into what God has called me to do. And he leaves the carpentry workshop. He drops the business. And so up to that time, the business is paying his bills and it is helping him to advance and to do whatever he's doing. If they had schools of that sort, then he was paying school fees from the money that came from the workshop. Now, Jesus steps out, he steps out. As a human being, he has needs, and he has stepped out into full time ministry. He has needs. He has just left his job to pursue the call of God. There is no bank statement. There is no partner at that time saying that, hey man, you stepped out of the workshop to do full-time ministry. I'm gonna I'm going to be there to send you some money. It doesn't start that way. I don't know how it happens in the other parts of the world, but in this part where I come from, you know, if you don't have faith to really believe God, and you, if you didn't hear God well, you cannot gamble, because this is not just professional. This is a commissioning. This is a calling. Glory to God. So if God didn't, if you were not properly marinated in the word of God and properly marinated in the presence of God, I am telling you, in this part of the world, it is not blessed insurance, it is blessed assurance. Glory to God. You're either assured that God will provide, or you will really, really backslide. So Jesus is at that point of his life where he has just stepped out into full-time ministry. Glory to God. And he has no fancy partners. He has no TV ministry to tell people to send $1 a day, or send 50 cents, or send, you know, $500. And he had no fancy ministry. Jesus simply had to believe the raw way. You know, you either had faith or you had faith. There was no two ways about it. So it is interesting that Jesus here is trusting God for great things, and he's believing that as he takes on the ministry that God has given unto him, some great things are going to happen. Guess what? He goes into the first phase of his life and he finds John the Baptist, who dips him into the water as the first phase of his ministry. And then immediately after he came out of the water, the Bible says, and he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness. No, God never uses anyone who has not been through process. Everybody that God will use will go through process. There is due process for everybody. And it seems to me that God loves the wilderness as a place of preparation, because every man that carried the mantle at some point of their lives had to go through the wilderness situation. And ladies and gentlemen, that wilderness place is hard. It is boring. There is no entertainment. It is intimidating. It is empty. It is dry. It has all sorts of dangers in there. And that's where God takes his choice men. What? David went through a wilderness situation, and the prophecy on his life was that he was anointed to be king. Now, I want you to imagine that the prophet Samuel, of all prophets, the Bible says that his word never fell to the ground. Which simply means, if Samuel the prophet showed up at your doorstep, if he tells you that your TV was stolen, go to the police, because it really was stolen. I mean, Samuel was it. In the world of prophecy, when he spoke the word was the word. We don't debate the word of Samuel like we do the words of the prophets right now. What did he mean? What did he say? That was vague. No. Samuel was, you know, he was a sniper in the prophetic, you know. He just hit on point, on target. And so, here is Samuel telling you, hey, man, I see the Lord raising you in this season, man. You're going to be the next king of Israel, man. You know, things are going to happen, and elevation is coming. You know how the prophets speak, you know, elevation is coming, and you're going high. I see you going high. You know, things are really going to happen. They're going to bust out. They're going to blossom. You are going to be the spectacle of the city. Everybody will look at you and say, wow, I want to be like that one. You know all the things the prophets say. So, but David still, so here is David. His imagination goes wild that he's the next leader. And then suddenly he's pushed into a wilderness situation. Not only that, the king at that time wants to kill him. It's dangerous, you know. Hey, it's dangerous. Moses goes through a wilderness situation, and every one of these people. So there is a price to greatness. Every time you think, oh, I want to serve God, I want to serve God, and then you start praying in your small little tongue, shundai shaka proposu. I want you to understand that after you pray those tongues, there is a greater work for you to do. There's some things that you're not going to microwave. You're not going to just dodge them. You are going to go through things. So if you're one of those, pocket people and soft people and, you know, complacent people, like the mixed multitude in the wilderness, it is going to be tough for you to get to where God has called you to be. Can you imagine? Sometimes you just want to say, but God, are you really just? Are you really loving? Because you think about it, he gives you all these promises and tells you, man, I am sending you to the promised land. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. I want you to picture this, a land which flows with milk and honey. It is a land that you will have bread without scarcity. It is a land out of whose hills you will get copper and out of whose stones you get brass. It is a land where you, I mean, then he tells them, but it is also a land of the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Demonites and all the Ites, they're all there. And everyone has their own journey. I don't care how cute you think you are. I don't care how wonderful, how tall, how smart, how rich, how educated you think you are. Along your path, there are trials, there are temptations that you're not going to be able to microwave. You will not call Uncle Jimmy. You will not call a politician. You will not call the member of parliament. You will not call any of you. In fact, you will call them and they will tell you, I am also going through the same thing you're going through. You will call the banker and you'd think, man, this is the banker. They will tell you, man, trust your God. So Jesus here is driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. I mean, if I was God the Father and this is my son, why take him through the wilderness? But if Jesus went through it, I am convinced that before I prophesy to you that God is elevating you, there is a wilderness to go through. Glory to God. So Jesus goes through the wilderness and it is there that he meets the devil. And the devil really comes as the assassin to his destiny, to stop him from going to where God wants him to go, to stop him from being where God wants him to be. And he didn't wait for him to, you know, perform a miracle. He didn't wait for him to do the great things. He attacked him right there and he was vicious. He came with all the psychology. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, and he even had scripture. Some of us don't really imagine that this devil actually knows scriptures better than you. Because he was there when the Bible was being written. He has been to heaven, seen the glory. It's just his rebellious nature took him down. His pride. But without the right, without principles and protocol, without understanding Christ, this guy has been around longer. So you've got to know how to win. He's fought some ancient battles. Can you imagine? He knows you. He knows your father. He knows your grandfather. He knows your great-grandfather. He knows where you got that nose from. He knows it came 5 generations away. He knows where you got that height. He saw them all. Hello. So Jesus stays in the wilderness 40 days being tested. Setting the moment, you know, he is there. And imagine there, he has it in mind that God has anointed me to function and to impact my generation. And he is in the wilderness, you know, he is right there. And you know what? It is the Spirit that sent him there. And sometimes God sends you through things and you don't feel his presence. You are thinking, I don't think God is here, you know. Why did he bring me through this? But anyway, the Bible says that season of his life also ended. And when they ended, Jesus had won by simply sticking to the text. Jesus kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. You had better know what the word of God says so that in the moment of trials and testing, you can still hold on to the word of God. Because many people, through the phase of trials and tests, they get to a place and say, I don't know if I can go through this anymore. I am tired. I am worn out. I don't want to anything like this anymore. And Jesus stood his ground and said, it is written. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God is not optional. You've got to get yourself into that word until that word becomes part of your conversation. Not just head knowledge that I know it by my head, but heart knowledge that this is exactly what God is saying to me. And you can stand on the text without regarding your feelings. The Bible says, Abraham considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, so you've got to come to a place where you disregard the situation as it is. However long it has lingered, you disregard the circumstance and plant yourself in the word of God. That means whatever the word of God says, that is exactly what you believe. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Until you get yourself to that level where the word of God is supreme in your situations, you will stumble at the attacks of the devil and at the luring and the wooing of the devil. Every time the devil attacks, it may not always be vicious, you know. Sometimes he attacks with nice words, wooing you, bringing you into some place, and you know, taking you wherever he's told you his narrative. He says, these kingdoms are mine. Took Jesus up, said, all this I will give to you. So he has something. And he knew that Jesus has stepped out of his job into a full-time ministry where he had real needs in real time. And it is predicated upon those needs that the enemy begins to manipulate the situation. Jesus is hungry. He said, man, I can feed you. Jesus is in the wilderness. There is no house built there, nothing. He said, I can give you all these cities, all these kingdoms, all these houses. I can give you. So the devil has some things to give. Now, if you don't stand strong at the hour of need, you will seem to think that the lady that sang the song from a distance, God is watching. You will think, man, God is so far away from me. From a distance, he's watching. There is a nearby breakthrough here. So why don't I take it? Maybe I'll repent later. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. So, but strength comes by way of the word. And then Jesus left the wilderness after 40 days of being tested in the wilderness. There was no provision, but in that place, in the wilderness, was where the authenticity of his authority began to form. Why? Because of his obedience to God. And at that time, he probably didn't see it, because he was at everything that he did from there was a hidden life, you know. Everything he did from there, you know, it was tests. It was a preparation mission, a preparation season. And when God is preparing you or seasoning you, your life is pretty much hidden. You want to be seen. You begin a business and you want to be visible, and you're not. You try everything. You Facebook and Instagram and Insta this and Insta that, and you're still not visible. And you're wondering, why am I not? And somebody came and just seemed like they smartly overtook you. There is a moment in life where everything you're doing seems to be hidden, but it's not. That season of your life is not a disapproval of God's absence. It is the working of God to move you into the place he wants to move you. And so in this part of Jesus's life, we see a conclusion of the tests that were happening. I am glad to announce to you that we really have come to the end of the season of the testing of that level. Glory to God. This is the conclusion of the season of being hidden away. We have done everything we need to do. We have crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's, and I am telling you, we have come to the end of that season of being hidden. In a little while, we are going to gush out. We are going to explode and expand, and those who didn't know us will begin to know us. We'll begin to desire to rub shoulders with us, because we have come to the conclusion of a season and we are entering into a new season. season. Glory to God. It is that we are entering into the beginning of a new season. And so Jesus went into the synagogue, and when he went into the synagogue, the Bible says, and there was given unto him the scroll from the book of Isaiah. And Jesus found the place, Isaiah 61, Isaiah 58, around there, where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to the recovery of sight to the blind, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. You know, Isaiah continues on and on, but Jesus stops right there. And what that signified is that Jesus is saying, I am welcoming myself into my next level. There wasn't anyone to clap for him, to welcome him to that next level. Jesus said, I am going to make my own vision, my own vision. I am going to come up with my own mission statement. I am going to find the place in the scriptures where it was written of me. I am going to declare what God has said of me. I don't need a choir. I don't need a praise team. I don't need anyone to be nice to me. I'm going to do it anyway, because I sense in my spirit that my time and my season have come for me to step out of my Father's house and step into my calling. And so he defined his own mission statement. And Jesus was serious, you know. He knew that this is it. This is it. I better be good at what I'm doing. I better do it to the best of my ability, because this is it. And he knew no one's coming. Some of you are still waiting for the... I asked a lady one time. She just graduated, and she graduated from another country. And I said, so why did you not stay there and work? She told me, the government here does not give jobs to people. So I'm going back to Tanzania because the government gives jobs. Come close to the classroom. Nobody's coming. You had better stand up and get things done. The days of sleeping are over. The days of the comfort season are over. You must be about your Father's business. There is a calling on your life, and it's looming. There is a grace upon your life, and it's there. It's looming. And you have to engage yourself. You don't need a worship team or a choir. You don't need somebody to keep praising. You see, when we all grew up, there was somebody, there was that uncle, that auntie to tell you, oh, could you keep coming? Could you keep coming? Oh, you're walking. Oh wow, they clap for you. They clap for you now. The claps have changed. It's not going to be those kuchu kuchu claps. It reminds me of a mosquito that entered into a room full of people, and then as it was flying around, everybody was clapping. Pa, 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 pa. And then it flew back to its mother and said, Mom, I'm famous. I'm famous. Everybody in that room is clapping for me. I'm famous. The mother looked at it and said, don't you ever go back to that place. They were not clapping for you because you've done something great. They wanted to kill you. So those of you who are waiting for people to clap for them, it might be too soon. You better leap on and decide that, you know, everything I'm going to be, I am going to have to make my mind up. And it's going to be a decision. Jesus went into the synagogue. It doesn't say, and wow, the heavens opened. And then the voice said, like it said before, this is my son. He's about to read a scripture. Jesus had to sense it, that my time has come. It had to lock into his spirit, and from then on, he didn't care who said what. He didn't care what the gossip on the line was. He didn't care what some said. Jesus asked the disciples, said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And said, some say that you're Jeremiah, and some say that you are one of the prophets, and some say that you are Elijah, and some say that you're just one of the prophets, and some has many things to say. So be careful when you listen to Sam, because Sam is very creative with his words. You cannot let your calling depend on Sam. Not this one. That one is dependable. Praise the Lord. I believe that we are coming out of that season of hibernation, that season of hiding, into a public ministry. Here on, our public ministry will begin. It will take shape, become more effective, become more impactful, become more aggressive in the fulfillment of it. Everything that we do in the ministry it's going to be out there. You know, the word of God will operate more powerfully in our midst, and we will see the Lord move and reveal himself even much more than we have ever seen. So the seasons of staying in the back are over. Those of you that love to stay in the back because you're thinking as so-and-so is gonna do it I want to call you to the front of the class, that your time and your season has come for you to lock in and begin to do kingdom stuff and go out there and do what God has called you. If you're a student in the classroom, give it your best. If you're a man in the corporate world, in the marketplace, give it your best. Whatever your best is, find out how to do it much better than you've been doing it before, because God has come into your season to do it in a way you have never seen it done before. And Jesus proclaimed and said, "The Spirit is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." In this season, it is the Spirit that we trust to lead you. So there's got to be a governor from the inside of you telling you, this is the way, walk ye in it, because God has empowered you to send you out. He has anointed you for his service. There is a work that God has called you to do, and no one else will do it, and no one else can do it with the same precision, with the same grace, with the same favor, with the same anointing, because it is you that has been called to do it. And therefore, from today onwards, you can not be lazy, you cannot hold back, you cannot be afraid. Be not afraid. Like the Bible says, fear not. Do not let fear stop you from what God has called you to be. Everybody has a first day of stepping out into something. There comes a moment when the season demands that it becomes your first day to step into that level. Your first day to go do that business. Your first day to go sell that thing. Your first day to do that sales job, that marketing job, that CEO job. Your first day to step out and say, I'm going to do this. You step out and you do it, and stop procrastinating and say, I'll do it next month. I'll do it next year. I'll do it. And you have procrastinated enough. We cannot serve the kingdom of God or fulfill the will of God and the purpose of God by procrastination. Just always thinking, I'm going to do it tomorrow, and everything of yours is in the sweet by and by. You've got to come into your today and decide that you are going to shift your life. There are levels that you need to get to that you haven't gotten to. There are places in God that God wants you to get to that you haven't got to. And you are the one that God has called into question as the man, as the woman with the grace for the season to take your life to the next level. So much to do, so little time. Of all the things that we have to do, don't indulge in negative thinking. Don't indulge in, I'm good for nothing, and you know, life has been really tough and difficult, and I just want to take my life right then and end it. I'm just going to end my life, and then what? Begin another one? And then what? Everybody has it tough. Everybody. I've been around the world, and you know, sometimes you think maybe the other side is not as tough. Man, we are going to make tough decisions. We are going to decide to lift ourselves to where God wants us to be. We are going to prosper in the things of God. We are going to succeed. If God has called you to business, I want to hear the testimony. 2026, I want to hear the testimony. If God has called you into ministry, I want to see the character, the fruit. I want to see the shape. Wherever God has called you. If God has called you as a parent, you are going to decide to be a better parent than you've been before. Whatever that God has handed over to you, you have just a moment to handle that work and to walk with it. Time passes so fast. Just one time, I was this little young boy running around and looking at my father, I would be mesmerized, and I thought this is everything, you know, that does whatever needs, because my father was like the Superman of some sort, you know, he did everything. And time passed so quickly, and my hair began to gray. And I looked back, and the man was gone. And now I was told, you are the firstborn. I'm looking back to see if I have an elder brother. No one's coming. No one's coming. And now you have the responsibilities. And God never warned you that you will have responsibilities. Now I have to build houses. I have to take care of my mother. She did a great job. She used to take care of the house, run around. She was, in fact, it's so incredible that one time one of my sisters got a childhood picture of ours and brought it to my mother and showed her. She looked and said, "Who is this woman in the picture?" She couldn't recognize the woman in the picture, and that was her picture. She could recognize the children, but couldn't recognize the woman in the picture. Time is coming. Time just goes by so fast. You will blink, and things will have changed. You're not the same anymore. And you don't want to get to a place where you begin to regret and say, I wish I did it then. I wish I did it then. I want you to do your best so much so that when the time comes, you just say, you know what? I did my best. I have people I've pastored so well and they rebelled, and I look at them and say, you know what? I did my best. I did my best. I was there when they needed me. I did everything. I lifted them up. I did what I did. I bought them the shoes. I bought them the clothes. I bought them the tie for their first job interview. I prophesied it. I prayed for them. I saw them being exalted. I mean, I was there to answer every question, you know, iron out every doubt. I did my best. And that's the season we are. That whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do it like you will never do it again. Like it says, Martin Luther King Jr. said, let us do what we do so well, so much so that the dead, the living, and the unborn couldn't do it any better. The stage has finally opened, and you are at the center place. The lights are on you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Do you understand the call of God upon your life? Do you understand how that the Spirit defines what He has placed upon you? Anyway, Jesus stood there, defined the statement of His life. He didn't tell them, by the way, all these things I'm telling you, the Lord told me to tell you. And He said, I felt in my spirit, God was moving me to say it. No, He made no apologies. They wanted to stone Him for saying that. He did not make an apology for telling them the things He told them. In fact, He went ahead to tell them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing. You know, there actually comes a day when God begins to fulfill things in your life. And this is where we want to be connected, stay connected to God at that level where the Word of God becomes your reality. And in this season, I believe we have heard all the prophecies we have heard. And we have heard from the prophets, from the apostles, from everybody we could hear from. And they have given us the Word of the Lord. In this season, I want to believe that God's Word upon your life and upon our lives as a church is coming to pass. That the scripture, that the word that God has given is not going to delay, that there will be no more delay, that the season is shifting, that we have closed the season of the testing, and that God has opened a season where his word comes to pass. Glory to God. You're returning not empty. Glory to God. Jesus, the Bible says, he returned in the power of the Spirit. It is the things that you go through that actually craft the power, the ability, and give you the age to testify and say the things you say. They qualify the power that you have. That's why they say that if your faith has not been tested, if your faith cannot be trusted. God takes you through the test to qualify you, that when you speak what you speak, you own the testimony. They could refuse your credibility as a Christian, but they cannot deny your testimony that you went through when they were all looking at you. So when you go through trials and testings, the Bible says, count it all joy. Why? Because it is working a far more eternal and exceeding glory. You know, God is doing something through you that the next time people look at you, they will say, how did you get here? Because it's going to be by the divine hand of God, because God is releasing his grace and his manifestation. God is releasing the fullness of his working and his manifestation because of your obedience, and we are going to see some great things happen. I want you to know that we have actually gotten into a new season. Glory to God. The season of preparation has ended, and now it is a season of proclamation. Glory to God. The season of private sonship has ended. It is now a season of public mission. Glory to Jesus. I want you to understand from this point, it is a turning point. Glory to God. That turning point that Jesus described when he spoke about the vision and the mission of his ministry by entering into the synagogue, it was a deliberate action that he did. Jesus did not mince his words because he understood it was a turning point. For many of you here, it is a turning point. Where you're going, you have not been to before, and you're not going back to where you used to be. Things are not going to be the way they used to be anymore. From this point, we must make sure that we are the stewards and the custodians of what God has given unto us, and that we know that whatever God has put in our hands, we are going to multiply it and increase it and make it fruitful. We are going to be that which God has called us to be. The days of your being small end today. You're no longer going to be small. I want you to understand that being small is not a testimony. Glory to God. There are better things that God wants to do with you and through you. God shook you to come up to a place where you understand that he never called you to be small, and nobody celebrates small. It is not a testimony. To whom much is given, much is required. I wish I could tell you, you are that disciple who was given one talent. But I cannot tell you that you are given one talent. You are that who was given a coat of many colors. Glory to God. You are that who was given much. And because you have been given much, you've got to demonstrate the match that you have been given. You've got to show up and things fall in place because you are there. Things must fall in place, not fall apart. You need to understand, nobody celebrates small. He said, though your beginning was small, that's the beginning. Small is for the beginning. Your latter end shall greatly increase. And I understand that he says, despise not the days of small beginning. But we cannot stay at the beginning. We have got to move from the beginning and say, you know, enough of the beginning. It was good when we started, but we are at that point where we are weaving something, the influence of God, the impact of God to the nations, to our communities, and to our society. There has to be a reason as to why the anointing is coming upon you. There has to be a reason as to why God gives you vision and defines your mission. There has to be a reason as to why you are in this generation, not just to pass time, but to leave a testimony that goes, reverberates to the next generations, that there was a man that passed here like David. There was a man that passed here like Gideon. There was a man that passed here like Abraham. There was a man that passed here like Peter, James, and John. There was a woman that was here like Deborah. There was a woman that was here like Mary. You carry something in your womb, and your generation needs it. Needs it. Needs it. It is that time. It is that time. It is that time. In this season, look, one of the greatest challenges to a new season is the old mindset, the old way of doing things, the old you. Sometimes when people's minds are not renewed to catch up with what God is calling them to do and what God is saying to them in that season, they tend to bring the past into the present and go with it into the future, and there is no healing and there is no blessing. That's why they say you can take a man out of the village, but it's not, you may not take the village out of him. He still does the things the way he used to do them. No, in my mother's house we did them like this. Hey, this ain't your mother's house. Bringing the old mindset into a new season is dangerous. We used to do it like this. You cannot afford to think the old way, bring the old strategy into the new season. The problem with the children of Israel is that when they went into the wilderness, they allowed a mixed multitude, mixed mindset, mixed mindset, mixed multitude. This mixed multitude was wicked because God had set them on a path of eternal things. And this mixed multitude is thinking about garlic and cucumber and graves. The past had a grip on them, and they thought about Egypt. On their way to the promised land, they were singing the songs of Egypt. So progress was limited. That even when God wanted to do great things, they got to a place with 70 coconut trees. I think that was somewhere in Dar es Salaam. 70 coconut trees, and they just began to go around and around and around until God was concerned. I mean, if God were human, I think he felt like he was dizzy because of just seeing them going around and around and around. He came, he said, tell the children of Israel to stop moving around. Because you see, sometimes we have a feeling that being busy is being effective. Being busy is not necessarily being effective. You need to evaluate what you're doing and see how much of it is being fruitful and how much of it is being effective. You could be going, but going around. There is no progress to that. Or you could be going, but going backward. It's still movement, but movement is not progress. Movement becomes progressive when that movement is tied to progress, is tied to vision. When your movement is tied to vision, then you could say, yeah, that's where we're going and we're clear about that. But just movement, and some people love activity. I mean, for as long as there's no activity, they just don't feel right. Things just don't set right. Because they must feel like they're doing something. No evaluation. They... Shabrahatela. No presence of mind. Think about what you're thinking about. And take every thought captive that does not line up with where God is taking you. You can't afford to rehearse problems of the past in a new season. Just talking about, oh, you know, I'm so disadvantaged. I grew up in such a tough family. Who didn't? Who didn't? Who didn't? Oh, you know, things were so bad. Nobody gave me a silver spoon. I told you, nobody's coming. Oh, you know, they're so evil. They don't want me to do. Nobody will want you to do anything because nobody was designed to want you to do anything. If you don't do it, you're not gonna do it. There are people that God has anointed as your destiny helpers, but they must help something. They must help something. If your hand is empty and you're wondering why nobody's helping you, if you're a man and you want to get married and you have no vision, you don't know where you're going, you will make that woman suffer because she don't know what to help. She's a helper, suitable, but what is she supposed to help? You just want to watch television from morning to evening. If you settle for the television, you will soon see the man with the vision whom you used to despise on your television. You'll get it next year, don't worry. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus said, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. In other words, it's happening right now. It's not futuristic anymore. Faith is now. This is the time for you to get your hand into the machine. It's happening now. You can say, oh, you know, I really wanted to go to China, but you know, I have no, I don't have a ticket. I don't have a visa. I don't, hey, who was born with a visa here? Telling us you're Chinese. Don't tell us if you're not going to make things happen. Tell us after you've gone. Tell us what happened when you went. Then you can tell us how to pray for you. I knew there wasn't going to be a lot of amends today. Glory to God. But Jesus did acknowledge the anointing upon his life, that he was empowered to do something. There isn't a person in Christendom who gets born again just to stay born again. Church, listen to me. We don't yet have a congregation. We just have leaders. We don't have backbenchers. We have everybody that needs to work to get this ministry to its next level. Everybody that needs to work to get your family out of poverty into the wealth that God has promised is seated right here. Everybody that needs to get that office working and functioning well is seated right here. We don't have anyone else save you. This ministry is not depending on the people who are outside of it to do the work on the inside. This ministry has to depend on you. My question is, how dependable are you? Are you going to just be sitting there every Sunday? You just come and sit there, and every Sunday, one of these days, I'm going to set that seat on fire. So when you sit on it, you get burnt and turned left and turned right. Everybody here is a servant. You've got to have a servant attitude. Find out what you can do, or at least tell us you can do something. Somebody needs your help. You know, when people visit a family, this is important for those of you who just like to go from house to house. You know, I have young men I used to ask and say, so where do you live? They say, well, sometimes in Tegeta, sometimes in Mikocheni, and sometimes in Masaki. So where exactly do you live? No, I just keep kind of going around. You know, if you come to my house and you overstay, you're welcome. I'll give you a hoe to go and dig. You know, you can stay in a place and you overstay, you're welcome. Hello? We have work to do, and this is why the anointing is being released. The anointing is never released just for a fancy, you know, like, ooh, I feel the goosebumps. I feel the anointing. And then you roll on the ground, speak on some tongues, you get up. And, you know, my challenge is that people have learned to act so well in church that they even know how to fall, which side to fall when the anointing comes. They, you know, they know how to turn and just smartly fall. That kind of anointing I don't want. You know, and the anointing is not limited to the pulpit. Whatever God has called you, God is releasing the appropriate anointing for you to be able to do things in the uncommonest ways. God is taking you to levels where you will begin to shift atmospheres. You will begin to make history. You will be the first of your kind to do the things that you do. There is so much to do, and there's so much that is not yet done, that you can do things that mesmerizes people. Jesus did, and they were amazed at his words. They were amazed at his deeds. These things are waiting for you. There are levels in God that you cannot exhaust, and God wants you to do these things here now, not in heaven, now, here. You are such a spectacular, you are such an amazing, excellent human being. You need to realize that the God that you're working with is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can think or ask, according to his power that works in you. You need to know that there is something more for you to do, greater than what you have done right now. You need to know that if you keep doing things the way you have been doing them, you will keep getting the same results you have been getting. And if those results have been disappointing you, you are still going to be disappointed. Go to church every Sunday and pray, but still disappointed. Go to every prayer meeting, but still disappointed, because your strategy has an issue. You haven't realized that you have been anointed with the anointing of impossibilities to move and shift mountains that have been impossible to others, to do God's work, until you become a testimony that when people look at you, they want to give their lives to Jesus, and they have a reason. The anointing is beautiful. The anointing sets you apart. It sanctifies you. See, the word anointing simply means to rub with oil. You know, I've told you the analogy of this before. The people in the Middle East are shepherds, so they understand, because they're shepherds. They spend most of their time with their sheep. And in order for sheep to survive in a chaotic world where there is fleas and there is parasites and there is all these other things, they've got to rub that sheep with oil, and every sheep has to be attended to, and they rub it with oil, and that oil right there protects the sheep from any form of danger. That oil there makes the sheep grow and flourish and prosper. So the anointing sets you apart. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. God is setting an anointing upon you. You see, the anointing is God's supernatural ability that works through a believer to execute the greater works of God, to do the exploits of God. And they that know their God shall be strong, the Bible says, and do exploits. Now, we haven't come to that place. We have now come to that place where the exploits of God are ready for us to do. Glory to Jesus. God is ready. See, God used no more ordinary people. It was that Peter. It was that John. It was that John. Peter. Peter was, it doesn't get any worse than Peter. Peter had anger issues, anger management issues. He had disorders. Peter could just go from 1 to 100 in a few minutes, and that guy, born again, spirit filled, could get a sword, cut people's ears off. And Peter. Peter was a rough man, rough, everything rough. You know, I can just imagine. Have you ever seen a fisherman? As those local fishermen, their feet are big and rough. Guys have muscles. That, you know, you just think about Peter that way. Jesus had to really work on Peter to get Peter to be what Peter became. And that's exactly what God does. God works on you. God works on you. But you've got to align, submit, allow God to work. You cannot sabotage the working of God when God is working what He's working. Let His will be done. Some of you, when we tell you this is what God wants you to do, or this is what you need to do, oh, I'm shy. Shy? What demon is that? Every time it is your time to go to the next level, you forfeit it because, oh, you know, I don't think I can do it. Oh, you know, I don't think it's me. Oh, you know. One of our pastors who is doing very well right now, the day I told her that you're going to be a pastor, she laughed until she dropped. And I'm telling you, she laughed until she dropped, rolled on the floor, and laughed and laughed and laughed again. And every time I told her, you're going to be a pastor, and she would laugh. She's a pastor now, so who's right? And she's doing very well. She's doing very well. She could hardly pray. But I look at that lady leading prayer and I'm thinking, wow, that's something. She's furious. I don't know what's happening, but she's furious. Praise the Lord. Let us not forfeit the times and the opportunities that come to us to go to the next level because of the excuses. Oh, you know, I can't do it. Oh, you know, I'm shy. Oh, you know, I don't know what excuse you've given yourself, but I want you to talk yourself out of that excuse. From today, it no longer applies. If I walk up to you and say you're going to be the biggest businessman in the city, you're going to be the next big thing in the city, just say yes sir, glory to God. If I walk up to you and say you are going to be the apostle to the nations, don't look at what you don't have, what you have, and just look and say yes sir, glory to God. Because if you look at yourself based on your limitation, you are always going to stay back, and there will always be a human limitation suggesting to you that you are not qualified to do the things that God has qualified you. Because in our day, we are thinking, I need to go to the university for it. Please go. But you might go and get that degree or master's in medicine, and God is sending you to become that pastor. Okay, some of you all don't think I went through some classrooms. I went through an engineering classroom, okay? I did work in an engineering firm, but where am I right now? Come on, talk to me. Where am I right now? Just because I don't talk about it? Praise the Lord. This year, 2026, that is coming, is a year of work. It is the year that the rubber meets the road. It is the year where iron sharpens iron. You've got to be at your best and never give yourself an excuse. That negativity and the captivity of negativity has got to go. Approach your new season with a new mindset. You know, if it takes you to sit down and rethink your strategy and pray differently and do things the way you have to do, and come out of your prayer chamber when you know you have got it. Why do you want to rush and do things the same way? The anointing is coming on you to do great things. No opposition is going to stand before you. Glory to God. You will overcome. God is giving you grace in this new season to overcome. Glory to Jesus. He's giving you to be engaged in there. You will see good things. You know, Numbers 23, the Lord sent them to go and spy the land. Numbers 13, God sent them to go and spy the land. And they, as they went, and 12 people went and 10 people came back and said, we are not able to take the land. 2 people said, let us go up at once because we are well able. Now, in the kingdom, we do not have a democracy. Glory to God. So if you're looking at a democratic means of getting the work done, say, you know, after all, 8 people have told me I cannot do it. So I believe them because they are the majority. You and God are the majority. You know, 2 people said we are well able to do it. And that was the alignment of God. God does not take the sides of the majority. God takes the side of his word. 2026 has got to be it. It has got to be it. Whatever it is that you wrestled with and fought with is not going with you to 2027. Glory to God. We are going into 2027 with testimonies. We are going into 2027 with victories. We are going to 2027 with some powerful things that have taken place. And you know what? You are the target of the great things that God wants. The anointing is not limited to the pulpit. The anointing will come upon you, just give you the ability to do what you couldn't do. You will not be limited. You will not be stopped. You will not be controlled. You will exhale. You will thrive. You will more than survive. You will prevail. There no more survival mode. How are your finances doing? Surviving. How are you doing? Hanging in right there, surviving. That the problem is your language. You're betraying your own self by your language, because your language is now determining your mindset. You've given yourself a mindset of a survival mentality. We are not able to do it. Look at the facts. Even these are the scientific facts. This is what the psychologist says about it. And, you know, you're telling us and it all sounds fun. Bible says, we know no man after the flesh. Yeah. Glory to God. We do not define you according to the flesh, your situations, your circumstances. God will supersede that. Do you know when progress happens? It is not because those who are progressing and succeeding and doing it, it is not because they don't have challenges. Quite frankly, they may have more than you. But regardless of the challenges they have, they still make something out of themselves with the anointing that God has given unto them. Let this anointing that God has poured into the house not go to waste. Let it not go to complaining. I want you. You see, Thanksgiving is one day. And I was in the U.S. and I was ministering on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is one day. Do you know? We ought to have 365 days of thanksgiving and then have one day of complaining. I mean, if you've given thanks for 365 days, we can give you that one day to complain. But hardly will people who have been grateful for 365 days or 364 days, hardly will they have anything to complain about. Bible says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Yes. I guess today, from today, we understand that the anointing does not come on you to sit. The anointing is the divine enablement, the power that God puts upon you to cause you to do what you could never do by your own human strength or your own human frailties or your own human limitations. The anointing comes on you and supersedes. And you see, when the anointing comes on you, it's not like the sun is going to lower down and stand here and there's going to be a halo and everybody's going to watch it and say, oh my God, look at that. And then they start, all the paparazzis come around and start taking pictures and say, we saw the halo on his head. No. It's a divine engagement that God places on the inside of you, and then you make make decisions based on that anointing and begin to move your life to a better level, better end, better. Everything you do must thrive. It's that Joseph who gets into the house of Potiphar and everything is working out. That same Joseph is taken into the worst of the situations, into prison. Even there, his anointing works. It is, the books have it that Joseph organized the prison so much that they had farms. They even had time to engage in games because Joseph, the Bible says, and the prison warders left everything in the hands of Joseph, and later on that anointing took him to the palace and he was able to organize the entire nation, that they became the food basket of their day. Joseph did that by the anointing. And there are some Josephs in this place, some Davids in this place, and some Abrahams in this place, and some Peters, James and Johns. There are people in this place that have grace that they have never known. They have abilities they have never known. They have destinies that are so great and so mighty. And this is the time to put yourself to work and explore, and don't limit yourself or give yourself an excuse as to why things can't work for you, things can't turn out the way they should. From this moment forward, you are going to be it. Amen. I said from this day forward, you are going to make things happen. Amen. They should happen because you're there. Amen. Don't go to a place and see things, everything falling apart, then you look and say, well, it's them. Do something. Employ yourself. Apply yourself. The more you do it, the better you become at it. Even with the anointing on me, I didn't begin to preach this way. You should have heard me the first time I preached. It was terrible. I wanted to run from myself, but I was still stuck with myself. What consoled me is that I made an altar call and people gave their lives to Jesus. And you must make sure, you must realize, my first sermon, I was in secondary school preaching to university students. So do you have a clue what was going on inside of me? My heart felt like it was going to jump out. But then I told myself, they don't know that because they're not seeing it. I'm going to wrestle with it until I get comfortable with it. I really started preaching to university students when I was still a secondary school student. And I would go off to the Faculty of Law and just argue my case, and they would ask me whether I'm a lawyer. I was in secondary school and I couldn't tell them because that might be the end of their invitation. And I'm telling you, they invited me to every fellowship. Every fellowship. I was there and I would turn loose the power of God on them, and the power would just come on them, and I would take them through the scriptures. And you know, none of them knew up to today that I was a secondary school student. So by the time I got to you, I was not a novice. I'd learned a thing or two. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I want you to rise up on your feet. Time is up. In just 1 minute, I want you to lift up your hands and just thank God for this new season, and thank God for His grace that is coming on your life. And I want you to settle your case with God even now. Settle your case with God. You're not going to be negative. You're not going to complain regardless of what it is. You're going to turn the wheels and you're going to make everything right. God is bringing such enlargement, such grace, such power, such anointing. The Holy Spirit is coming on you to cause you to think different, to talk different, to walk different, to envision different. This season must be that season that gets things different. You have to, you must, it has to happen. Your increase and multiplication and fruitfulness has to happen in this time and in this season. No excuses. That business has to work. That thing has to work. You are going to be the best version of yourself. You will train yourself. You will teach yourself. If it is communication, you will teach yourself to communicate. If it, whatever it is that you do, you will be the best sales person, the best marketer. You are going to be the best of everything that you do. The best teacher, the best preacher, not in comparison with anyone, but in regard to the call of God upon your life. God has called you and you must release that oil. Now is the time for you to release that oil. Let it flow. You're no longer going to be hidden in the past. You're no longer going to be hidden in the back. You're coming to the front of the class. You're coming to the place where the rubber meets the road. You're coming into your season where the light shines upon you, where the anointing comes upon you, where your name will be great. For he said, I will make your name great. Let great things happen, oh God. Let great things happen through them. Let great things happen for them. Let great things happen by them. Let great things happen, oh God. For it is you that promised and said, those that believe in me, the works that I did, they shall do. And greater works shall they do than these. Father, you have called your people to take your work to the next season, to the next level. In the name of Jesus Christ, this church has gone to its next level. These people have gone to their next level. Whatever they do, they are the best version of themselves. They are better than they were yesterday. They will do what they do so well by the anointing of God. The anointing locates you right now in the name of Jesus. The anointing locates you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, giving you the grace and the ability to thrive, to prosper, and to exhale, to do kingdom work so well in the name of Jesus. Grace is coming on you. Grace is coming on you. Supernatural grace. Exceeding grace. Kambrade Shelekaya. The Bible says that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. He wrought special miracles. Special things come your way. Special graces. Special graces. I declare that you stir up the anointing of God. Stir up the gift of God that is on the inside of you. Every gift that God gave you, I speak to it to come out. I speak to it to manifest in this season. I speak to it to come into its day of prosperity, its day of excellence. Malekaya de celebrados. Come on, the celebradosha de celebradosha gradis esgile mandosha brade la brudos capradaya li produsa bredia le brado subrade kadusta nishna nenia sulamandu shaya dosta hile rodos kamarida la broda zeya. In the name of Jesus Christ, celebradosa da. Every limitation will not limit you anymore. Every fear will not. You will not bow to it anymore. Whatever stopped you, every sabotage will no longer be yours in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke that sabotage in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare that when you begin something, you will accomplish it, being confident of this very thing, that he that began a good work in you shall be faithful to bring that work to the very end. The work that God has begun through you, you will finish, you will accomplish, for you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has ordained beforehand that you may walk in it. The blessing of the Lord is upon the house of the righteous. The blessing of the Lord is upon you. In the name of Jesus, you will prosper. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will thrive. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will exhale. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will break through to greater levels, greater heights, greater places. You will walk in dominion. You will walk in the anointing in every respective place that God has called you. You have been called to influence your community. You have been called to change your communities to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, thrive, prosper, succeed, do well. In the name of Jesus Christ, you have a place in the city, you have a place in the nation, you have a place in the nations of the world. God give you conquest, God give you victory, God give you grace. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ to pray. Somebody give glory to Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe and share the message to your family and friends. Follow us on our social media at Kingstar Church.